before us is a matter of an appeal of tax assessment valuation of the Board of Equalization versus NISHA LLC. The tax assessment has been appealed. Order will go is I'm going to ask Mr. Cross for an opening statement and then followed him by Mr. Murphy. So, Mr. Cross, you got it.
Thank you, Judge. The opening statement is going to be really short, which is a good, the best sort. We're here, of course, because we think the value for tax purposes, that's ad valorem taxes, should be $2 million as opposed to the $2.9 million which has been assessed. We don't really disagree that much with the value so much as with the components of that value. We believe that the furniture or fixtures needs to be excluded, but most important, the intangible value of the franchise of this hotel. This is what's called the Flag Hotel. It's a Country Inn and Suite. It has a nationally advertised system of reservations that does affect its value, and we believe that that value should be taken out. I will quote the statute, which says intangible property is not taxable for ad valorem purposes in the state of Arkansas. We believe it's now included, so we need to take that out to get up down to our $2 million.
Well, Your Honor, our opening statement simply is that we would ask that this court approve the order from the Equalization Board, which obviously approved that was from the Tax Assessor's Office. We believe the amount that has been submitted is fair and equitable. And just ask that the court approve that. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Cross, would you present your first witness?
Thank you. Please call Abraham T. Witnesses, and check your.
But he's going to talk about what we previously marked as petitioners number one. Let me give that to you so you can follow along with the page numbers. What?
Your copy.
My copy is right here.
Sit here.
Yeah, just have a seat right here.
Yep.
Well, I'll ask that question. Judge, you want us to have the witness sit here? Or just
so where there was a woman says.
All right, I'll just sit over there.
The woman sit over there.
Okay.
That's the long chair. I'm going to
be up here.
That's good.
Pull over here where I can sort of face you a little bit.
Okay. Would you please state your name?
Yes, sir. My name is Abraham Tia.
And Mr. Tia, what's your occupation?
I'm a property tax consultant and senior licensed consultant.
And you work with ad valorem taxes all over the country?
Yes, sir.
Tell me a bit about your experience in doing hotel valuations as opposed to other types.
Well, I represent over 1,600 hotels around the country. And so I have extensive experience in hotel ad valorem tax valuations.
Okay. I know it was not you, but a representative of your company appeared before the DOE here in Faulkner County?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And we have filed this appeal. Would you explain to the judge why you believe that our value is a more fair and equitable value than that assessed by the county board?
Yes, sir. Simply, we follow the Arkansas code that simply stated intangibles, including franchise, contract, and goodwills, is not taxable. So for hotels, besides from the entire business and the building and real estate component, the part that is associated with franchise, because the subject is a Country Inn franchise hotel. So part of the benefits of having a franchise is it generates additional revenue because of that franchise. So that part of the revenue need to be separated out as per tax code. And that's exactly what our analysis identifies from an industry standpoint as an industry model, and also from an actual profit and loss analysis. Because the ad valorem tax is supposed to only tax the real estate, the building and the land. However, the entire income generated to do the income analysis, part of it is contributable by the franchise component. So I'm here to testify to show you exactly how I calculate the franchise component that's not taxable. And so I'm going to help you understand how to identify the real estate value only.
So, if you would.
Right. Okay, so...
Actually, you can go ahead and use yours that has the page number, because that's what the judge is actually looking at.
Okay. All right, so... page one is my summary. When we went to the hearing with the Equalization Board, we have the summary page showing that the subject property location account number on page one, actual market value for assessment is $2,691,500. Assessed value is $538,000. So in our analysis, we provided the uniform equal approach valuation, compared the similar hotels in this county by value per room. Then B is the income approach valuation that separates the intangible business enterprise value per tax code and also per appraisal institute regulations. And then we show you how to calculate the business value. And then we have a market approach taking in the market sales comparables and deducting the business enterprise value to come to our conclusion of a $2 million assessed value. $2 million appraise value for assessment purposes. So page two is our equal uniform approach. The report is on page three. And in Conway, there's a Best Western Hotel on this page that's assessed value per room-wise lower than the subject. Subject is a 67-room hotel. That's $40,172 on the assessment. And the Best Western is $30,000 per room. And these are similar class hotels with a similar room night rental rate. The subject has a rental rate of $75 per night. The Best Western is actually higher as a comparable at $77 per night. And so taking that as a comparable, the subject value should be at $2 million on the assessment. And then the fourth page goes into the income approach. The analysis on page five shows the industry income model. Our industry income model indicator takes the percentage expense from CBRE research and HVS research, two of the best or the most respected hotel revenue and analyst sources in the country. And so what we're telling you here is we have a gross revenue is $1,096,000, and these two indicators says that to operate a hotel of this class in this region, the expense it should be 73.2% thereabout of the total income. And then we take another 5% added as a reserve for replacement, because for a franchise hotel, to keep that franchise, the franchise requires the owner to remodel this hotel every 6 to 10 years. So that is a very reasonable reserve, the money set aside as an expenditure item to keep this franchise to maintain the revenue source. So our net operating income is $238,000. Our expense total is $857,000. And then we use the PricewaterhouseCoopers cap rate. And that is also published for this class of hotels in the country. So 8.8%. And so we have a total market value of $2.72 million. And then we take out the business enterprise intangible component. In this case, it's 20%. In our opinion, that's $530,000. We have a real estate value $2,189,000, and then we took out, we're supposed to deduct the fixture, furniture, equipment too. So from this analysis standpoint, our opinion is $2 million, which should reflect this report. And then we have page number six, the actual P&L analysis, profit and loss statement from 2018. From the owner. The owner reported a total income of $1,096,000. And what we did is we added a management fee component into this analysis because every hotel had it, but this owner, since he managed himself, so he doesn't show that on his profit and loss statement, so we add it as a norm for this type of business in the industry. So our total expense from the actual P&L is $977,000. That included the added management fee. And then we added 5% reserve for replacement to upkeep the property to maintain that franchise license. Our total expense is $1,031,000. Net operating income, $64,000. We use load the cap rate at 8.8 plus the tax rate, that becomes 10%. I have a total market value here of $640,000. Take out the business value component, 20%, $124,000. So from an actual income analysis standpoint, the property on the market is what I consider to be an undesirable asset because the expenditure is so high and the revenue is lower than what it should be. And so this report, because it has a lower value, therefore we consider the industry model to be more accurate, to be more valid for this hotel to use for ad valorem tax purposes.
Okay.
So
that's what we got.
Yes, sir.
This sheet you just owned, was it, looks like it's prepared by O'Connor and Associates Tax.
Yes, sir, that's my company.
Okay.
But we prepared the analysis.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So the page nine, this is a way that we value the business, intangible business value component of the hotel. What we're trying to say is we look at the same rating hotels or lower to compare to in the same market. Now, what happens is you're supposed to only tax on the building and the land. So what I'm saying here in the report on page 9 is if you remove that Country Inn brand off that building, what would the independent hotel's room rental rate is in this county or close by? So we did a survey of two-star hotels in this county. The subject rate is $76 per night. This is online as of October 8, 2019. And then so we survey all the other independent hotels, which does not have brand value or the franchise component. We're looking at about a $52 median room rental rate on that day. And so the difference is to the subject is $24 per night difference, which equates to 31.6% difference. Then we remove the franchise fee, deduct the franchise fee that the subject hotel pays to the franchise, which is 12.1%. We arrive at an intangible business enterprise value of 19.5%. That's the reason why I put the 20% on my report. So this is how we calculate with the actual market statistics to separate out the business value for the subject property. So on the following pages, page 10 and 11, we have these comparable hotels, independent hotels, not comparable, independent hotels on the market with a room rental rate verification. And then we have our market sales report on page 12. Starting page 13 is where the report is. Page 14 shows you the comparable. We have a comparable hotel in Conway, Arkansas on Sanders Road. That's comparable one. And then comparable two is Preacher's Drive in North Little Rock. Then we have comparable cell number 3 on page number 15. This is a hotel on Senators Row in Conway, Arkansas. So on page 16, we have a summary of the comparable sales. And what we're looking at is this chart right here. The subject is on the top row to the right. And so we're looking at the comparables. Average is $44 a square foot. Median is $50 a square foot for the comparables. And then we go look at page 17, which is our appraisal adjustment grid, and that shows the total value after adjustment on page 18 to be $2,520,000, which includes intangible business value from the comparable sales. So none of those were the values of intangible value that were removed. So we're looking at the indicated value of $54 per square foot. That's our market value approach. And then we have on the supplemental pages, which after the subsequent testimony, I will bring it up if necessary. That's how we come up with our valuations.
And the 2.5 on this sheet number 18 needs to have that $520,000 taken out.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's intangible. It's intangible, yes.
John, you're talking about the furniture and furniture.
Well, there's furniture and fixtures that are taxed separately, which shouldn't be in there. And then there are also the intangible value, the brand value.
Pretty hard to move the brand value. Move it up. Go ahead. Is that all of this that you're going to? You got to that point?
This is how I got to my opinion about it for the hearing and the board equalization.
And then, just so that the judge knows, on page 9 is where you have made the calculation to try to remove that brand value.
Yes, sir.
And that's where you come up with the 20%,
right,
which you have applied to the industry standard value of page 5.
Right. The industry total value from the industry standard standpoint is $2.72 million, and the 20% intangible per tax code is $530,000, so the net value for real estate is $2,189,000. Then you have to take the FF&E off that number. So that's how we come up with somewhere around $2 million as a value for real estate only.
Okay. Thank you.
How many square feet was in your calculation of the building itself? I missed it somewhere.
The income approach does not take consideration the square footage. If you assess this property based on the cost approach, construction cost plus land minus depreciation, then you will consider square foot. Hotels in the marketplace are transacted from the valuation of the income stream. So therefore, the income approach valuation is the most valid way to value a hotel.
How many square feet is a hotel? I think it's 46,000 or something.
The subject is...
One of your last comments, though, you mentioned something based on $54.
That's from all the comparable hotels on the sales report.
$54.
Page number 18?
Yes.
Yeah. That's from the market standpoint, how much comparable hotels are selling for, and the median value from all the sales is $54.
And I think to answer your question, on page 18, if you look up at the top left, it says GBA square footage.
46,300 and what?
That's it. That's
yeah.
Next, other witness this time,
first of all, is he through?
We're through with this witness. Right. So
if you can, Your Honor, just some brief questions. The first of which, in using the income producing method for evaluation. It appears that in 2018 that the number used is just over $1 billion as far as the, I guess that'd be, is that gross revenue for this particular property then?
No, that's what the owner reported on his profit and loss statement. Okay. That's a gross revenue for the tax year 2018.
Okay. Other than that number being reported on the piece of paper, is there any evidence or information that would substantiate that particular number?
Yeah, this is we have the STR report that shows the red part. You take the red part times number of room times 365, you should arrive at that number.
All right, and I'm you have to slow down a little bit for me. So explain the math there if you can again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the owner's profit and loss statement is deemed to be true and correct because that's what he used to report federal income tax and to report to the partners. So this is for the property tax hearing analysis, this is what we obtain as consultants to justify the income.
Right. But if you would just walk me through that equation that you used to
sure.
with that.
Sure. The equation is on this report here. It's called the STR report. And so this is what's being reported. So we use the report as of December of 2018 here. This okay. is the date. It's on the right below the title here. That's the report.
Oh.
It should say December 2018. And then you go to page number 2.
If I can just stop you briefly, make sure I'm looking at the same thing. It says created January 24, 2018, correct?
Well, this report should be created January 17, 2019.
Hold on. I think I'm just looking at a different report then. That's all.
They all look the same.
Yep. No, that one says 17. This one says 18.
Yeah, I have a. This one is 19. So it's a three. It's a. Okay. I bought you 3-year running okay. report.
Sure. Now we're
yeah,
on the same
I just
page.
Want to make sure it's.
Make sure the judge has the same thing too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How do I know there's a difference?
Okay. Let me give you this.
This one's different even than that.
So this is the version right here.
Okay. I need to mark this. Sorry, judge.
Great.
Yep. So now that we're looking at the same document here, if you would just go ahead and continue to explain how the equation is coming up with that profit figure again.
Sure. Let me do a brief calculation here. So if you go to page 2, this report summarizes the hotel operation in the entire year of 2018. That's what the profit and loss statement shows. And if you look at page 2, and if you go to the first section on the column that says running 12 months, and if you move to the right column, it says my property. But above that, it says red part. That is revenue per available room. So if you take the total income divided by number of room, divided by 365 days in a year, you will have the revenue per available room. So that number is on the running 12-month row, $44.81. Okay, this is a tick 6 that the hotel reports to the franchise and to the Smith Travel Services. To use for market comparable research, room rate adjustment, so on and so forth. So it's $44.81 a room. If I take that number, multiply by 365 days, times 67 rooms, which is what this hotel will have, is $1,095,828. So that's your verification there to the truthfulness of the owner's report on the profit and loss statement they show us.
No other questions, Your Honor.
That all?
Well, did you have anybody else that you
No, I got this other gentleman.
That's all I
want to make sure we're good. Okay. Mike, I think maybe you better pull on up here.
Judge Baker, did you have any questions you needed to ask?
Not at this time. I want to go back to Mr. Cross and ask him to call the next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. Call our next witness. Mike, can you state your name for the record?
Michael Miller.
Okay. I don't know if I mind if I sit down while we do this.
Be fine.
I'm used to standing, but Mike, what's your address and profession?
My address is 13914 Claymont Hill Drive, Cypress, Texas 77429.
Okay. And I sort of skip to the chase. Are you a licensed MAI or appraiser?
I'm a designated MAI at the Appraisal Institute. I'm licensed in the state of Arkansas to do this appraisal. I'm licensed in Colorado, Oklahoma, and Texas.
Okay.
I'm state certified general, and it allows me to do any type of appraisal in those states on any type of property.
And then, but as part of your work, do you work? Have you done a good deal of work on hotel property in particular?
Yes.
And dealing with this issue of the brand value versus the hotel value?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have any educational background in appraising?
Yes.
Just so that the judge has an idea of what your experience level is and what you know about this.
Yes, sir. My major was real estate with a minor in economics, University of Texas at Arlington. Started appraising as a junior in college. I was a senior appraiser. Worked my first appraisal in 1983. I went on about 86 to work with CBRE, the largest real estate firm in the world. I expanded their operation internationally. I then, after about 7-8 years, went to work with Cushman Wakefield, the largest second largest full-service real estate firm in the world. I worked on their operations throughout the United States. Mexico, Latin America, and the Caribbean. I've appraised hundreds of hotels. I've represented in court as an expert witness. I'm currently the designated witness on the Corps of Engineers lawsuit, which is the largest lawsuit against the federal government against the Corps of Engineers on flooding at Hurricane Harvey in August of 2017. It's potentially 21,000 individual court cases. I've represented various property owners and other plaintiffs, including the U.S. Marshals Service. I've testified in front of the Department of Interior and some of the largest federal land exchanges ever conducted in the world. And I've testified against the IRS on various taxation purposes.
But on ad valorem taxes, have you testified extensively in this type for exactly this kind of evaluation we're doing here today?
Yes, I've been named an expert witness hundreds of times. Typically, they all get settled. I've only had to go to court 3 times.
Is this one?
Okay. This is one.
So here we are. Judge, let me hand you, because you're getting ready to talk about your appraisal, I'm just going to ask you to explain it. And I want to give it to you first.
This is exhibit number 2, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Proceed.
You did an appraisal. I need you to skip to the chase and hit the high points to explain to the judge. First of all, what is your valuation of this property, and is it that different from the county?
The overall going concern value of the property is very similar, within 3% plus or minus of what the assessor came up with. But we have 2 statutes that require me to separate out the value into 3 different components. One statute is USPAP. USPAP is a federal guideline. It was mandated by Congress, implemented at the state level for state licensing, and it requires all going concerns to separate market value into going concern and FFV. It is misleading to report market value without separating the components of both FFV and business value. So in all appraisals that concern market value that have to be USPAP compliant, which is basically at the state taxation level, I have to separate out business, personal property, and FF.
Okay. And on this, like I said, I just want to hit your valuation is actually $3,050,000 And if you deduct the going concern value or the intangible personal property, that's $520,000. And then the FF&E, which is fixture, furniture, equipment, that sort of thing, is $330,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is that based on the FF&E, is that an industry average, or exactly where you come up with that?
It's a surveyed average of the various component parts. So we considered this hotel to be a limited service hotel, similar to what the county assigned it as. And so therefore we assigned various categories of limited service hotels that include furniture, fixtures, and equipment.
Okay, so these are industry averages you're about to talk about with the judge, as opposed to you didn't go out and value the desks and chairs.
Did not.
Okay, very good. If you, now, with that, would you explain your appraisal to the court?
Yes, sir. So we first scope of work, we were asked to appraise the property based on the appraised value as the appraisal district. In that case, it's fee simple. So fee simple means that we don't consider any leases or encumbrances based on the fee simple rights of the property. So for example, a leased property with an above market lease, we would not consider the above market, we'd only consider market. The other component is we have a going concern. In the perfect world, in this case, we have vacant hotel sales. So just a physical building that's sold, just like we're all familiar with the Walmart story. I have a Walmart and I have a vacant store that used to be owned by Walmart. If I had sales of vacant hotels that didn't have any brand identity, that's the perfect comp for this taxation discussion. That rarely happens in America. My firm tracks every hotel transaction in America. We very rarely see a vacant hotel. So the closest we can do is get to a hotel that's non-branded, Mike's Hotel. Mike's Hotel is not branded. It doesn't have 100,000 people in a reservation system. It doesn't have rewards, points, various components, other things. The other thing we did in the scope of work is we looked at the any ownership history. We did not find that there was an ownership sale within the last 3 years. We broke out on page 15 the various site description data. On page, we have various maps, graphs on page 17, 18, 19, including a flood map. We have page 21, an improvement description. We use the gross building area from the county assessor of 46,396 square feet, 67-room hotel, 68,824 square foot land value. This is a retrospective appraisal. It's as of January 1, 2019.
Thank you. Yeah.
Retrospective means it's not as today, our analysis. We conducted a highest and best use. This report is in compliance with USTAP. It's compliant with not only with reporting, but also the preparation of Standard 1 and Standard 2. We defined on page 27, about midway down, the Rushmore approach. So, Your Honor, there's two ways to adequately account for that business value. The courts have recognized two approaches. One's called the Rushmore approach, which essentially is the capitalization of the management fee. The problem with that approach, and a couple of the state courts have disallowed it, because it doesn't give a profit for the owner above the cost of management. So, for example, if my management fee is $100,000 and I have a 10% cap rate, that means the business value is worth $1 million. But I've got other components above it. So this morning I had breakfast at my hotel. My $100 room rate included breakfast. So it really wasn't $100 for the rental of the room. The other thing is, they taxed me $13.13 above my $100. Now, if I was renting an office building or a retail building or an industrial building, I would not have that tax. So I have local state taxing agencies thinking of this as a business. So, similarly, the county assessor doesn't tax real estate for restaurants. I have a building that a restaurant sits in, I tax. I don't tax the going concern of the restaurant. But in most cases, because of the inability to separate out business personal property and that business of the restaurant and the number of employees to take care of the room and clean it up every night, they don't separate it out from the sales. So what we do is we say, okay, let's figure out what the business personal property is. And there's two ways to do it. Either to get as close to Mike's Hotel as possible, so I don't have a brand identity, and that room rate is typically, almost in every case, less than the rental rate of a branded hotel, or the Rushmore approach where I capitalize the management. So in this case, we did both. So then what happens is we did a modification of the cost approach on page 30. The cost approach included a schedule on page 31 of furniture, fixtures, and equipment. And based on the second line item of limited service hotels of $17,100 for the FF&E, we concluded a cost of about $17,000 for this particular hotel. In the sales comparison approach, we included four sale comps, two of them in Conway, two of them in Little Rock. We made qualitative adjustments to those and reflected that two of the properties, as shown on page 39, were similar. They had price per square foot of $66 and $67 per square foot. We found that sale three, the limited service hotel, was inferior, and it sold for $50 a square foot. And sale four was a superior on Main Street. It sold for $77. So we bracketed the subject's value at somewhere between $50 and $77 per square foot. And we concluded a value of $66 per square foot. And then we subtracted the business enterprise value we're about to discuss. And then the furniture, fixtures, and equipment we previously concluded in the cost approach.
And what's your opinion of the value of the property?
Value of the property?
For ad valorem tax purposes.
In the sales comparison approach, it's reporting a value of $2,210,000.
Okay. But you also went on and calculated using other methods.
Correct.
Okay, so let's go on with those.
So the income approach, we looked at the prior room revenue. We looked at a $1,090,976 effective gross income on page 41 for 2018. We estimated what the rate would have been in 2017. What's interesting about this hotel, the economics have dropped in the last 3 years. So we've got a little bit of decline in both occupancy and rental rates. So since 2016, we've seen a little bit of downward trend. We had a little bump in 18 to 19 to date, but not sufficient enough to, we think, recover from what had previously been done.
Okay, so this hotel is in decline, is what you're saying?
We believe it's in decline for a couple of reasons. Number one, when they built this, they didn't have all the buildings around it, so it was easy to see from the highway.
Okay.
And obviously, having hotels sitting on a highway frontage is a little bit different than sitting back one street back. In addition to, you got retail stores on the other side of it. It's an off kind of cul-de-sac road location that, let's say, doesn't have drive-by traffic to say, hey, there's a hotel, let's stop for the night. You kind of need to get here for a reason, right?
Okay.
You need to know where it's at. So we think the kind of the economic, plus we all have new hotels and other things going around that kind of differentiate other hotels with a little bit better location characteristics for this type of property. We looked at the market rent. We looked at the STAR report that was mentioned earlier. The STAR report is the industry standard for rental and occupancy comparisons. In that STAR report, we looked at the 3-year historicals, not only for the subject, its immediate competitive set on the bottom of page 41. And again, we found that the subject is underperforming as in terms of the competitive set and the market overall knowledge. So not only is it declining, it's underperforming in its competitive set. And on page 42, at the bottom, you looked at the Mike's Hotel approach, which said, hey, I got a Country Inn and Suites. It's a Radisson Hotel. It's got this huge network. It's probably going to have a higher occupancy and rental rate than Mike's Hotel would be. So basically, we looked at similar hotels in the market, concluded that there's a room rate difference between Mike's Hotel and the branded hotel, about $14, in this case, about 18%. Then we looked at all the expenses of chain-affiliated versus the regional and then the suburban hotel data set for this particular property type. The characteristics of the ratios are then used to extrapolate what we would consider a pro forma income and expenses. That's on page 44. The pro forma income and expenses are our projection for the next 12 months of what the income and expenses should be for this property. In the first column to the left, you'll see branded room revenue $1,090,976, very similar to the 2018 historicals, because again, we haven't seen any measurable movement in this property's income or occupancy. Various expenses, we included net operating income of $312,483. Then we calculated the rent based on the non-branded Mike's Hotel scenario. We used similar expenses with a slight adjustment in the food and beverage because we're probably not going to sell as much food and beverage. General administrative is going to be a little bit less. So we had a $671,000 expense, and our net upper income fell to $249,548. Then we looked at various capitalization rates on page 45. We not only did it from a real estate research corporation, which is an industry standard across the United States, but we also have a PricewaterhouseCoopers survey. We concluded the appropriate cap rate for the subject would be 9.25%. Now, since we're trying to estimate the value for assessment, what we do is we load the cap rate. So we took the tax rate, added it to our capitalization rate, came up with a loaded cap rate of 10.26 for valuation purposes for assessed value. We took the $249,548 non-branded net operating income, and we came up with a rent-adjusted value of $2.4 million. Then we looked at the net operating income if it was branded. We used the same cap rate, came up with a branded capitalization value of $3,045,000. We concluded, based on that value, that the as-is going concern value was $3,050,000. The business enterprise value is the variation between the branded and the non-branded of about $520,000. And the as-is market value was about $2.432 million for the real estate only. Then what we did is we took, based on a survey of branded hotels, we looked at various cap rates on the left, ADRs, and on the right, what the contributory value of the Paris hotels, not only for the business value, but also for their capitalization rates for that individual brand on average. And then we calculated an additional business enterprise value at the bottom of page 46. We did two different methodologies. We took the Rushmore approach. We took the total revenue, the net income off after reserves of that branded NOI. Then we took the 10.26% cap rate and said, you know what, 4% of that is a management fee of that expense. Let's cap that 4% of the management fee, which was essentially $43,857. We capitalized it by the 10.26%. We came up with a business enterprise value of $427,458. The second methodology we did, we subtracted the difference between the branded NOI, net operating income, and the unbranded net operating income, the $312,000 versus the $249,000. There was a 20% variance in that net operating income, and basically that concluded a value of about $610,000. We reconciled the $610,000 from the branded versus non-branded with the Rushmore approach and came up with a business enterprise value of $520,000. On page 47, we reconciled the values between the sales comparison and income approaches. We concluded a value of the going concern of $3,050,000. We concluded a real estate value of $2,002,000. We concluded a business enterprise value of $520,000 and an FF&E of $330,000.
Let me ask one additional question, then I'll turn it over. This brand that the hotel owner buys doesn't come for free, does it?
No, sir.
They pay a percentage. You happen to know what the percentage they pay of their is it gross revenue or per room rental? How does that work?
It typically is a percentage of gross revenue and net operating income.
Okay, and so the owners pay that because they're going to make money off of that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you use the term Mike's Hotel, which I understand to be, you're just talking about a generic hotel that's branded to with your own hotel, which doesn't exist.
I would never own a hotel.
Okay, gotcha.
Or run a hotel.
But the comparisons you did were other hotels, non-branded hotels in the Conway area.
Correct.
Okay. And then your business valuation is a combination of the Rushmore approach, which is a more conservative one, and yours, and that's how you, because the yours came up with $600,000, the Rushmore was less, so that's where you came up with the $520,000.
Yes, sir, we reconciled the two together.
Okay, very good. And that represents an intangible property value.
That can't be taxed for real estate purposes.
Okay, that's it. Thanks. Okay.
I have no question, John.
On one sheet that passed out earlier, I believe the franchise royalties was about $100,000. How the franchise?
That's what it's stated in the anyway.
Okay. I have no questions of the witness.
Thank you, Mike.
You have another witness?
I don't have any more witnesses, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Murphy, you have some witnesses you call?
Yes, sir. I'd like to call Mr. Dale Walmsley.
Okay.
You mind if Mr. Walmsley sits where he's at?
That's a good place.
Mr. Walmsley, if you would please tell the court a little bit about your background and history and who you work with.
Well, I work with Total Assessment Solutions. I started in the business of mass appraisal in January of 1984. I worked my way up to Pulaski County to the Director of the Appraisal Department. Went to work with Total Assessment Solutions. I'm currently the manager of Faulkner County.
All right, and explain just briefly how Total Assessment Solutions, how it comes to play with the tax assessor in Faulkner County.
We are contracted to do the reevaluation of Faulkner County every 5 years.
All right. And if you would, please explain how you came to the valuation for this particular property.
The company in question called and requested that we look at five of their values on motels, and three of them located in Conway and two of them in Wright County. I asked Peter Balch to send me his information. We do mass appraisal work. We do have the option of going and sitting down with the owners and getting all their information from them. So we do mass appraisal work, which I believe Mr. Miller can tell you that falls under standard six. It pretty much gives us some latitude what we can and can't do. We do follow the rules of use tax. Upon getting the information, I did a spreadsheet. I believe you have a copy of it.
Well, that's marked as respondent to exhibit number one.
Okay.
If you would explain that spreadsheet.
Okay. First, I'd like to say we look, the state mandates that we do a valuation on a cost. A market-driven cost approach is what I call it, because we go out and we value everything on a cost approach using Marshall Swift. Then we go back in and we use multiple factors and multipliers after we look at the market to try to get everything set. A lot of problem I had on motels here in White County both was we did our valuation was for 2016, which means we could only use sales for 2014 and 15. Those sales were higher since 14 and 15. A lot of the motel markets around here have been going down just due to the fact that the oil and gas has moved down. So I had Peter Balch send me the information that he'd gathered from the owner. And if you look at the spreadsheet, I want to point out the part in red down towards the bottom that says Country Inn. Number of rooms, 67. Nobody's going to argue that. ADR was reported to me at $87. And the occupancy was 52.2%. Using that, I went back up on the spreadsheet towards the middle where it says Country Inn, potential gross income, $2,128,000. Now that is everything the property can produce. I do not have in here any extra income, added income. I was not given any. So using that, you come up, and like it was stated earlier, you use the ADR times the number of rooms times 365, multiply that by the occupancy, if you will, and that comes out with potential gross of $1,017,000, which I believe is less than what is actually recorded on the report. I went through there and I gave expenses of 73%. As you see, the two hotels below it, I used 70%. I talked to Peter and Abraham also about it, and I added another 3% because I felt like the flag might be a little bit higher on this particular one. And doing that, you turn around and use cap rate, a loaded cap rate of 10, comes out to 2.9 million. Which puts it, if you follow the line over, it puts it at 44,000 per room. Question I had is, they're asking for 2,189 originally, or that's what they came up to in our discussions, which is $32,000 per room. If you look at the other two motels with us in the same group here, one's at 34, one's at 37. Why would we then have this one below what the other ones are when this one reported more ADR than anything else in Conway?
Okay, and if you would explain the top of the spreadsheet, there's the number of motels here, and what is that?
Well, when Peter Boss called me, I went out and I got some of the ADRs and information from some of the motels that had sold. The best way to arrive at a cap rate is to basically go out and figure out what the NOI is and then use the sale to back into it, which gives you a cap rate of 10, and the Greenbrier Hilltop is at 13. And I noticed in their report they mentioned the Greenbrier Hilltop. If you look back over to the left, the occupancy rate on the Greenbrier Hilltop is 20%. But it used to be a lot higher than that until the oil and gas moved out, and they have been falling for years. Going on down, you come up to the Super 8, it's 12%. You go to Macro Inn, I guess it is, it's 11%. And the Skyline is at 12. I also have the years on these.
The year they were built.
Yes, that's the year they were built on the far right. Looking at that, and I used the cap rate of 11 on. I'm sorry, 10. I was at the wrong number. And it comes out to the value of $2,999,000.
You also have some. And there's one last section of the spreadsheet at the bottom. It says White County. Does Western Holiday Inn represent?
This is also what they came in on. It's two of the five parcels they sent me, because I also helped the manager in White County do the commercial. We did the same thing. I pretty much treated them all the same. And I'd like to point out the bottom one, the Holiday Inn on Fair and Trail. My income came out at $5,469,000, and we settled at $5,156,000. The tax rep, the information they gave us was $4 million. When I was talking to Peter on the phone, I indicated to him that you can come and contest this. The thing the board's going to ask you is, what was a $5.5 million sale in April of 2019?
So there's a $5.5 million sale of the Holiday Inn from White County in 2019?
Yes, sir. I'm pretty sure it was 19. Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Out of the five of these, we have one left that they have come in and they want to take it to the judge to discuss the values. The other four, we settled on those.
Okay. Is there anything else that needs to be explained in the spreadsheet or anything we haven't covered?
Not that comes to my mind right now.
Okay. And if you would, in regards to anything that was provided in testimony by Mr. Tia, is there anything that you felt like you could add to or help explain perhaps some of the accounting figures that were used in that testimony?
I really can't explain the county. I just have a few things that I noticed. They like to do, and it's in the report I had, I believe it was in Mr. Miller's report, they like to take out the difference between something having a flag and something not having a flag. The Hilltop in Conway and Greenbrier, as far as I know, has never had a flag, and it used to do very well until the oil and gas moved out. This is one of them they're using to come up with this number. If they don't have this flag, they're going to have this. Well, it's been my experience that a lot of these motels, they might come in and build a Hampton Inn, and after 15 years, if they lose their flag, they don't go to a no-name flag. They'll usually go to a lesser flag. So, I mean, I don't understand why they're trying to show the difference of what this flag is worth. I mean, I can't do that. I have to value what's there as of January 1st each and every year. I can say, if you didn't have a flag, it'd be this much, but that's not my job. My job is to value everything each and every year as January 1st. As long as this has the flag, I don't even know why they go through the calculations to determine it should be 20. I think the report I had was 20% less. I think the report Mike Miller had was 28% less. I don't understand why. I mean, we're trying to set a value as of a date. If it ends, pots and pans. I mean, I don't understand that. But anyway, that's just the way I am.
Is there anything else in Mr. Miller's testimony that you felt like needed to be anything you could add to help the judge explain the differences in the accounting?
Well, if I understand correctly, he's using a rev par to come up with a value. And I don't know why you use it. It's just your total income divided by your per room. Use your total income. Why do rev par? It's, you know, income's income. You can't just jump up and change it.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that perhaps we've omitted that helped you come to the conclusion for the assessment that you provided?
Not that I can think of all hands.
Hey, Philip, I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
sure.
What amount did they say was the furniture, fixtures, and equipment for this hotel?
$500,000.
$520,000 was the business enterprise value. What's the FF&E?
Is the FF&E?
Yes.
Because when we pulled their business personal file, the last time they did a rendition that is itemized is 2009. And ever since then, they wrote same as last year, and they've made no changes ever since then. They haven't turned in one at all since 2017. And he was talking about however many years they're allowed to update and keep the hotel at the same status. So I was just wondering, surely it's been updated since 2009, that there would need to be a new itemized rendition with the differences for business personal.
What do you have for 2009?
We have their assessed value.
Would
you tell me what I'm super low?
Super low. Their FF&E is only $200,000 for an entire hotel.
Yeah.
Is that a comment? 99% of the hotels in America report gap accounting from their accounting department. That's not commensurate with the same thing for market value of FF&E. So what they're doing, as do 99% of the hotels in America, the accounting department gives you a rendition based on their gap accounting of straight-line depreciation for federal taxation rules. They're not giving you an itemized list of the market value of what that chair, that equipment in that breakfast room this morning was higher than your assessed value for FF&E. They had a full breakfast, you know, stoves, kitchens, griddles, everything that. There's no way that's not worth more than what you have.
Do they make changes when they update?
It goes to the accounting department. The accountant gives you the gap.
Because obviously new beds and new everything is worth more.
And surely they've done that since 2009, right?
Right. Not with
that. Not with this.
Not with us, but they've done it.
This rendition hasn't changed. Councilman
Murphy, do you have anything else on this?
I have no more questions.
Cross? A couple of questions.
All right.
When you're looking at I'm looking at your same spreadsheet.
Okay.
And you're using, basically, as I take it, the income approach. the valuation, correct?
The state mandates we use a cost approach.
Well, now, the state mandates you use either cost, replacement cost, or revenue.
We use cost plus, cost less depreciation plus land. What I like to do is when we have people call in with income-producing property, I like to go back and look and see how the income supports the cost value.
Okay. So, but when you did these other comparisons on your spreadsheet, what calculation did you do to take out furniture, fixtures, and equipment?
I throw a little extra in the cap rate for that.
Okay. And what did you do to take out the business, the intangible personal property value, the franchise value, the flag value?
My understanding is there hasn't been a court case in Arkansas to really determine whether or not intangible is taxable or not.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, that gets to my next point.
Okay.
Do you recognize this?
Yeah.
It's the Arkansas County Assessor's Procedure Manual, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Luckily, I didn't bring the whole thing because I only want to talk about page 47. If you look there on page 47, and I have a star marked by it, intangible personal property by statute is not taxable in the state of Arkansas. Correct?
Well, I was always understanding that it never had been addressed in Arkansas legislature or in the courts. Now, you mentioned it earlier. When we get done here, I was going to ask you exactly what statute that is because I'd like to read it.
Yes, sir. And that's not the whole statute, I'll just say. That's what's printed in that manual.
Yes.
But that's why I brought it, because it's the manual you have, so you can see.
And it's saying intangible property, right?
And you'll notice it says down there that includes franchise.
Right.
Which is what we're talking about with this hotel.
Right, and that's why I put another 3% on the expenses to add up. When I do the expenses, I'll add some into the expenses for franchise fees. And we know franchise fees are different. It just depends what kind of flag you have.
Okay. So, but whatever valuation the court puts on this, it cannot include intangible personal property, correct?
According to that, yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you disagree that that's the law?
No.
Okay.
That's kind of a waste of time.
But again, then this other is a information sheet that I actually printed out. I don't think it's Faulkner County particularly, but it is, and it has the same thing. This Arkansas Stats Annotates 26-3-302, which exempts personal property, intangible personal property from ad valorem tax purposes. It's hard to find because you have to look up the constitutional amendment, and it gives the legislature the right to do it, and then you have to find the statute. So, thank you. You can have it.
I wrote the number
down. Oh, okay, good.
Any other questions?
I think that's it, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
We
have no other witnesses, John.
All right. Do you have a closing statement?
Your Honor, I think I'd be happy to make a closing statement, simply that I think that the evidence provided is sufficient to uphold what the tax assessor and the equalization board has provided to you.
Yeah, I do have one more question from Mr. T, which is to say, do you have something else you want to add?
Yes, sir. First of all, this is all the appraiser offer. All right, he's assuming income and expense, and in his testimony, he says he had additional expenditure to the property to identify the franchise. However, if you look at the actual expense of the operation, the appraiser here had $801,000 for the subject hotel as an expense. The actual takeout of management fee is $977,000. So I don't think he did that on the actual. The reason why we file appeals is because, just like the appraiser and assessor says, they don't have the actuals on the property to do mass appraisal. This is the reason why we're here today. I don't think he considered the intangible. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Judge.
I'm going to give a good example, the difference between his figure and yours, depreciation. You know, depreciation could be a good example. Also, franchise fee, he has no idea what he costs for franchise fee. It's in your, you know, so it's good to point out.
Yes, sir. And the fact is that he received our income profit and loss statement to produce this report. And the actuals was not applied. And each property is individually taxed. Each property is unique. You have to look at the uniqueness of each property to assess property tax. And that's what we're here for.
Yes, you're next.
That's our, my close is that, you know.
You got the closing statement. He's had his closing statement. I'm going to take this under advisement, and I'll give you a ruling before the end of next week.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Wilson, you told me when you started appraising. I did my first appraisal in 19.